Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I am your host Travis.
And I am X.
And thank you once again for tuning into one of our episodes. And if you want to catch our past episodes, make sure you follow us, subscribe to us, give us a rate and review on iTunes. Also, we're on the Stitcher Radio app. And follow along with us through social media at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also on Twitter at popculturerwnd. So before we get going with this week's episode, we wanted to give a quick plug to another episode we just recently finished. We teamed up with Mandy from Cast Request, and we did this before for our Force Awakens review, and we did it again. We're back, and this time we're doing a series of episodes with her. It's the Batman animated movie series. We've done, two of them so far?
Two of them so far. Mask of the Phantasm and Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. They're really fun episodes that you can check out on Pop Culture Rewind or on Cast Request.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, and if you're not already following Cast Request, do yourself a favor. Go to SoundCloud or on iTunes as well, too, and give them a rate and review as well, too.
And check out her latest episode on The Name of the Wind, where yours truly got to lend a hand there.
Yes, sir. Yes. Great episode as well too. So
great show.
Great flick.
The girl is brilliant.
Speaking of a great flick, or in this case, TV show on Netflix, exclusive Netflix series with Marvel, Daredevil. This came back for season two, and we both had a chance to binge it, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
But we had a really good time doing a recap episode for Jessica Jones. And unfortunately with that one, we had some technical difficulties with some audio. So I thought it was only fitting that we come back for Daredevil and redeem ourselves.
Yeah, that is a rough episode. Prior to binging Daredevil, I rewatched season one, then I rewatched Jessica Jones, and then I to jump into it. That's kind of how I watch new seasons. I always catch up. And yeah. After rewatching Jessica Jones, which was still really good, I've tried to listen to our episode again. Try being the operative word, man. There's some point.
It's rough.
I said the line, and I'm still like, what did he say? I couldn't understand some of it. Yeah, we apologize for that. And if any of you stuck it out and listened to it, thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, from the bottom of my heart. Yeah. You were a true fan.
All two of you, yes.
Yeah, all both right. of you.
All right, so that brings us to this episode. We just want to give our thoughts and review on, season two of Daredevil on Netflix. So what's your general thoughts right now just coming off of watching the show?
Just right at the gate, I got to rate it?
Well, we'll get into the specifics, you know.
Let me answer your question with a question. What did you think of this season's villain?
Well,
I mean, come on, the villain was awesome, right? What do you think of that villain? Tell me what you liked about him.
Which one?
No, that's kind of my point. This season was kind of all over. I mean, everybody knows superhero movies, when you do a part two, you got to like double the villains. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that standard held true for TV shows too. But man, there was just a lot going on this season.
And I'm going to follow up your point here. The fact that I think right before the halfway point, it just turned into a different show, I thought. So the first part of this season, it picks up a little bit right after the first season. We see the cast again. Still got a great cast. Got Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock. And what's the guy's name that plays Foggy? Foggy Nelson?
Alden Henson.
Yes, and of course
She's All That and stuff,
and of course Jessica as Karen Page.
Jessica,
Jessica from True Blood.
Oh, when you said, because I was thinking Jessica Jones. I got Jessica Jones on the brain. I was like, Jessica Jones wasn't in this. I was hoping
that
she
is,
was.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, that's more accurate. Yeah. So no, Deborah Annwall. She's back as Karen Page. So
lovely as ever.
Yeah, so she's actually more blonde in this episode, like in this season. I thought, like in the first season, she's more. I don't know. They like
was she?
In one episode in particular, she's like really like just her hair was like.
What was she last season? She wasn't blonde.
She was blonde, but it wasn't so bright. I don't know. It was something they did.
Was she, Okay.
Yeah. Just in certain episodes, I don't know. So
was she more anyway, redheaded that's... last season? Do you just have like
I think so.
Do you just have like an internal sensor to detect?
Yeah.
There's another ginger around.
Yeah, you can't get past us on that. No. So, anyway, not too long into the season here, we get an introduction. Well, we see these, I guess, a big mob family. They're in a warehouse and they're going over, you know. I don't know what they're even talking about, like plans of doing something, but
this is Mick gang of of Irishman.
And then during this, they do get kind of well, what'd you say, gunned down,
ambushed, mowed down,
mowed down. That's it. Yeah, mowed down
from the outside. All you do is just a hail of bullets coming through the windows, and they pretty much get killed. That's it. That's all we get.
You don't even see anybody, but when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, here's the introduction.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody went into this not knowing is Punisher in there?
Yeah, that was no bones about it. They hyped this up. They wanted you to know that a new cast member, John Bernthal, you may know him as Shane from Walking Dead, but he's debuting in this season as Frank Castle, a.k.a. Punisher. So yeah. What'd you think of John Bernthal?
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so, I mean, he's no Dolph Lundgren, but he was really good. John Bernthal, I just want to talk for a second. He's becoming a really consistently good. I've never seen him in anything where he wasn't good from like, if he stars in good movies like Sicario or if he's in like, or bad movies, like, I don't know, Grudge Match. I kind of enjoyed. He plays.
I liked him in Snitch.
Snitch even. Yeah, he was in Ghost Rider. He just pops up here and there. Fucking Wolf of Wall Street. He shows up in good movies, and he's good. He holds his own next to a thespian such as Leonardo DiCaprio and Dwayne Johnson. It's the only time those two will ever be compared. But I watched Sicario again for the second time. I saw Sicario in the theater, and then I saw it. I rented it like a week ago, and I totally forgot he was in it.
Hmm.
And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was saying, you know, John Bernthal is really good. He goes, what else has he been in? And I name dropped all these movies. He goes, I've seen all those movies and I don't really remember him. I was like, he goes, but once you remind him, he's like, yeah. And I'm like, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he inhabits the role that you don't see Shane from Walking Dead come in the room. You just see this new character he's doing. I think he's a good actor.
That's interesting you say that, because I watching him, he was really good in this role, as Punisher. However, throughout the season, man, I couldn't separate John Bernthal from the Punisher. It's like, cause I knew who John Bernthal was. That's all I could see was him, Shane, I guess. You know, I couldn't, at some points it was just like, I'm just seeing him play this role.
I didn't get that.
It's kind of like, the reversal of when we're talking about, Force Awakens, like you knew who Adam Driver was. So it wasn't, you know, you knew who he was. I didn't know who he was, so I just see him as that one character. But like, you knew who he was, so you knew that character. You knew who the actor was.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't remove him from the character himself that he was playing. Not to say that it wasn't good, but
yeah, I mean, you can't deny that he acted well, that he portrayed it well from the heart, from the badass scenes of him shanking everybody, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
to him breaking down. To, you know, talking about like, I told her I'd read her the story the next day, talking about his daughter and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he played the full gamut of Punisher, and I think he knocked it out the park. I thought it was really good. I hope we get a Punisher show.
That was even before this aired, there was rumors that we were going to get a Punisher series off this, and I wouldn't be surprised, because we'll get into this in a second, but just the way they ended the season, they set it up perfectly for, you know, for him to go off on his own. But
yeah, I guess maybe there was something good about the way this ended, if that we'll get to that.
But yeah, I would say his portrayal, I mean, Torment would be a good character trait for Frank Castle. I mean, you could see the emotional torment that he was going through throughout the whole season.
Yeah, it took, I didn't realize exactly, I guess this is kind of like Punisher year one. He doesn't have, you know, like the Punisher we know would never go into a pawn shop to buy a police scanner, you know. He's got his own guys for that. He knows a guy who knows, you know. So this is like very, very early Punisher, which is cool. He didn't have the skull on, which I liked. Because, I mean, when you think about it, in reality, a big white target on your chest, you know, you wouldn't, and white boots and white gloves, it wouldn't look right. I was like, he's probably just going to be dressed in black with a gun. And that's how Punisher, like Dolph Lundgren. I thought they made a good choice with Dolph Lundgren.
Well, I knew he was going to evolve throughout the season. And even on Netflix, the little screen capture that they have for the show, it showed, you know, of course, Daredevil in the middle and then Punisher to the left. And he was in the Punisher garb with this.
He was?
Yeah.
Didn't even notice that. I called it to a buddy of mine. I said he'll probably do it in the last episode, much the way Matt Murdock was in the black pajamas all season. And in the final episode, he dons the red cowl and what have you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they kind of just redid that, but with the Punisher. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the beginning, his little introduction, it was a really good introduction for him. Mainly because without even seeing him, you know that's him doing doing everything.
Yeah, we don't see him a lot for the whole episode. He's like Jaws. And even though we see him, we only see like the back of his head or something. Like, we don't really get... Yeah. I mean, if you didn't know John Bernthal was cast, I don't think you would know that was him.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, so there's a new guy in town taking out bad guys. Daredevil's still... He's still doing his thing. There's a scene where that black arms dealer guy from season one, he's like doing a deal out of his trunk, and then you see a baton just come flying, ding, ding, and then he looks at it and he goes, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
Like Daredevil's getting around that people know when you see a baton flying out the shadows, like, fuck, it's Daredevil, you know?
They did a lot of callbacks to the first season, which I like that. It shows a lot of good continuity in the writing.
He even tells him, like, come on, D. Like, they're even, like, they even, all the hoodlums know who Daredevil is, and but whatever. So like those Irish fans, one guy gets away or survives and he's in the hospital, right?
Yes.
And then the Punisher shows up in the hospital, starts shooting the place up.
This was
the first episode. And I was like, really? Punisher wouldn't just start shooting up a hospital. He says later on, like, I didn't hurt anybody. Nobody got killed, but he was just unloading. Like somebody could have, there could have
like a shotgun or something he had. Yeah.
Maybe it was, but there could have been some friendly fire very easily.
Oh, definitely.
You know, so, he could have hit somebody's fucking dialysis machine and killed him like that way, or, you know, their life support. I don't know, but
there's a lot of potential collateral damage on that.
So, but again, like I said, this goes back to he's a very early Punisher, you know? So,
there was, you know, getting back to the star of the show, pretty much, Daredevil. He still has that costume that he donned on the season finale.
Is it the same costume from episode 13?
The start of it was, yeah. And then he gets damaged.
Oh, so it started the same, and then eventually Daredevil and Punisher squabble.
Mm-hmm.
Punisher manages to pull a gun out on him, and he aims and goes bang and shoots him. I thought that was kind of lame that he makes a pun. He's not the Punisher, you know what I mean? Like, why would he say bang? You know, you got him dead to rights. This guy's a fucking ninja. Don't stop to say bang before you shoot. Who are you, Rudy from Monster Squad? If you got that reference, you're awesome. Yeah, but Daredevil goes flying off the roof, and that's how that episode ends, with him falling off a roof.
Yeah. No, was it that? He's back in... I don't know how he gets back to his apartment, but he's like, he's trying, he goes deaf or something for a while because he's yelling and he can't.
Yeah, what was that about? Him going deaf.
They didn't really follow up with anything after.
No.
It went
nowhere.
It went back to normal, but it wasn't a recurring thing. So
he loses his hearing and he's in his apartment and then he falls asleep, wakes up like, oh, I can hear again. I guess that's over with. Yeah. And it was kind of like, okay.
But moving on from that, he has to his mask got cracked.
Yeah.
During that fight, and he goes back to the same costume maker,
Mr. Potter.
I
liked him. His character's name is like Melvin Potter. Kingpin always called him Mr. Potter, but he calls him Melvin. I like that dude in this season. I don't know why I like that. I like that actor. I mean, he always plays like bad guys. He was like a bad guy in Avatar. He was a bad guy in G.I. Joe Retaliation. He just looks like a bad guy, but he's good. He's a sort of a simple-minded good guy in this. I liked him.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed, but in the scene where he's talking about getting a new upgraded suit, they're talking about what they're going to do with the suit and everything. In the background, there was, I don't know if you saw it, but there was like this metal suit in the background.
I didn't catch that.
It looked like, do you remember that crappy villain? Stiltman.
Stiltman.
He had the big. He was like an old. I think he was a Daredevil villain, but yeah, he just had like really big stilts.
He just had stilts.
Yeah,
he's a villain. No, no, I do.
But anyway, there was a costume in the back that looked like that costume.
So. That sounds awesome, though.
If that was a reference, and I guess it was for people who got it, so I don't know. But clearly there was something they wanted you to see on that, so I don't know if it's going to play a part in the future.
No, I didn't
catch Wikipedia that. Man. Wikipedia, yeah. It's in there.
Yeah, he cracks. So I guess he took a bullet at close range, and he got concussed or something probably, but it stopped it.
Well, Foggy,
a bandana Foggy wouldn't said, have done
got,
that.
You got shot in the head, you know, Foggy, you know.
So. Yeah, okay. Now, I was wondering how long it would take before I got tired of Foggy just being butthurt. Turns out it was like less than 5 minutes in episode two where I'm like, shut the fuck up, Foggy. Like, Matt is going out and risking his life, and all you have to do is stay home and worry. And he's like, this isn't right. This isn't, I can't handle it. God, shut the fuck. I was so sick of Foggy being butthurt, but they gave him a lot of cool scenes. Like, Lawyer Foggy was cool.
I'm glad you said that.
Best
yes,
friend Foggy was annoying.
Yeah, I do agree that they managed to make him look like a competent lawyer in this season.
And I dug those scenes.
Yeah. He played it really well. But yeah, I agree. The whole getting pissed off at him for being Daredevil. As soon as it started, I was like, oh God, this is going to be like a whole thing.
Yeah, sure enough, I remember there was a line in the trailer where Matt says, I'm tired of apologizing. I'm tired of apologizing for who I am or for what I do. And I saw it in the trailer and I was like, uh-oh, is there going to be like, just butthurt all season? And yeah, he was very butthurt.
Yeah, yeah. We need to count how many times you said butthurt in that last sentence.
Every time I say butthurt, do a shot. So that Irish guy like goes to the lawyers, or they go to him. I forget.
He goes to them for protection or to get out of there or something, because he knows that Punisher's going to come for him. But and that started a whole like courtroom thing. For, you know, everybody kind of finding out who this Punisher guy is, and it kind of goes into they're trying to get him to witness protection or something. Is that what they're trying to do with this guy,
the Irish guy?
Yeah,
they're trying to get him to witness protection, and the DA, who's being a real cunt about it, is like, she uses him as like bait or something instead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he almost gets killed to trap the Punisher.
Right.
Yeah. So they screw this witness over. They screw over the Murdoch and Nelson, the Avocados at Law, just to set a sting for the Punisher, who almost, and you know, Karen, who's like driving with the guy. He's almost about to shoot him while he's in the car with Karen and shit. They get really close, but no cigar. He gets away again. He's wildly that.
Yeah. Well, that was the big fight scene where Punisher actually gets the one up on Daredevil, and he actually drags him away. Next time we see him, they're on the rooftop with Daredevil chained around.
Oh, was that early that happened?
Yeah. And that was a really good scene of Punisher talking to Daredevil, them trying to, I guess he's trying to figure him out and see who he is or see what he's about.
Yeah. He even said, like, I think he has a little respect for Daredevil. I mean, they're doing kind of the same thing.
Yeah, because he even said, like, Daredevil was like, why don't you take my mask off? And he's like, I don't give a shit who you are.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It is the third episode. And that whole episode could be summed up basically in, like, one line of dialogue that Punisher says. And he says, I do the one thing you can't. You hit them and they get back up. I hit them and they stay down. And that's essentially, that's essentially the whole season in a way, as far as Punisher and Daredevil go.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're kind of on the same team. They got the same goals. They just have different methods and different ideologies about what bad guys deserve. And that's kind of it.
There was one other thing that happened. I think it was in the third episode, the stairwell fight scene.
I think that was the fourth. Man, Daredevil should just go out every night with a gun taped to his hand. Cause he was kicking ass using that gun as like a club, as a little cudgel. Yeah. He was kicking some ass. That was an awesome fight scene.
Yeah, because that was after the Punisher scene, Punisher taped that gun to him.
Punisher he's like, I'm going to kill this guy, and the only way to stop it is if you kill me. And Daredevil's like, I can't do it, so he has one round in the chamber, so he shoots his chains off instead, gets up, fights Punisher, and then takes on a whole gang of bikers that Punisher just like shot up their bikes.
Did he know there was only one bullet? Because he said there was a bullet in the chamber, but did he know that was the only bullet in the gun?
I mean, common sense is I'm not going to give you, like, more than one bullet.
Yeah, that's true.
Punish him. And you know what? His sense of balance is so good, he can just feel the weight of a bullet. Because his senses are
That is true.
You could probably smell only one bullet in there. I don't know. There's a million ways Daredevil can tell.
The reason I brought that up was because in the start of that big stairwell scene, he goes to pull the trigger, and it clicks, and
I remember he had the gun pointed. I just figured he was bluffing. Like, they don't know it's empty.
Yeah. Well, he pulled it. This when he click, and he just kind of chuckled a little bit, and he went on and started kicking their ass.
But I think he did that to show, like, it wasn't even loaded. You guys, like, dropped your guns. I think that's what he did.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think he meant it like fuck. I thought he would have given me two bullets or something. I don't, because that would have meant that he was trying to kill them. If I pulled in the trigger.
Regardless, there's a funny little bit there.
But there is one thing. When the cop is trying to take out the witness, whatever, the Punisher is, there's a cop who says something about the Punisher. He says, like, it makes people think twice about the whole hero thing. Like, maybe people are starting to second guess vigilantes, and maybe that's laying some groundwork for Civil War. The climate of people, like, I don't know if heroes are a good thing or not, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
I just caught that line. I just caught that line and thought it might have been interesting if they're trying to tie into, because, I mean, very soon, in about a month or so, Civil War is going to show that the world is fed up with vigilantes. Or not fed up.
Well, not just vigilantes, just superheroes in general.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Jessica
Jones already illustrated that with that woman who's like, you know, how many more of you people are there and shit?
Yeah. Well, the line of dialogue could work for either just the show or for the Marvel universe in general. So either way, I think it's a good line of dialogue to show where everybody's at in the whole Marvel universe. So
the next episode is like an Irish funeral, and I guess like a boss from Ireland or something shows up, and it's Tony Curran.
Tony Curran, yeah.
He's a Scottish actor, but he's a really cool guy who I've liked in a million things from Blade to 13th Warrior. He's on, what was that show on Sci-Fi?
Defiance.
He's like a villain of that show or something, right?
Kind of, sort of.
I just saw the first season. Didn't love it, but whatever. So he's back in town, and I guess one of the guys the Punisher killed was his brother?
His son.
Was it his son?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now the Irish are making it their priority to track down and kill the Punisher.
Well, this guy is. Yeah, this guy.
He's running the crew, so he's like, this is now our priority.
Yeah. Well, he took out the mob boss who was already there.
Yeah.
And he assumed control of the whole gang.
He's also the bad guy in Underworld Evolution, the big vampire dude. Yes. He was really awesome in that. Okay, so we find out that Punisher's family was killed at a merry-go-round. Like face off. And so they managed to capture Punisher, right? And they're interrogating him. I don't even know what they're asking him. I forget why they're interrogating him. Like, why don't they just kill him? But he's not talking. So they decide to fucking torture his dog. Because Frank killed some people who had like a dog fighting ring, and he adopted one of the dogs who survived, you know. So Punisher has a dog, so like we're gonna torture your dog instead. Like, are you serious? Because that worked out real well, and they pulled that shit on John Wick.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, John Wick.
You don't fuck with a man's dog because he'll kill you,
especially one who's lost their whole family.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were just trying to basically torture Punisher. He got like the drill gun.
Oh, he
like
had their money. That's what it was. He had their money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why
I
was like, why are they interrogating him? Just kill him. Yeah, he had taken some of their money. Like, where's the money at? And he tells him, and it's a bomb.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. So then Daredevil shows up. No, he gets loose somehow, and he's fighting some guys off, but he's tortured. He's got a drill through his foot, and he's about to just... Pretty much, they'll probably fucking kill him, and that's when Daredevil shows up. I don't remember how he got away. I just remember he's tied up, and he gets loose somehow and kills a few guys, but, you know, he can't take them all on. But then Daredevil shows up and pulls him out, and he drags him to a cemetery close by. And when Frank's leaning up against a tombstone, and he tells my family and this, and he breaks down. And as he's starting to tell the story, like, Daredevil's standing over him, Daredevil sits down. Which I just, I like that he sat down to hear this. He's like, okay, I don't know. I just thought it was nice and respectful. You know, okay, let me sit down.
No, like all the scenes between Punisher and Daredevil played out really well, like the chemistry between them two, because you know how their characters are. So it was very intriguing, and it grabbed my attention anytime them two were going to have a scene together.
Mm.
But that might have been the first scene where we get the new costume for Daredevil. Like, it's more red. He's got it looks more of a traditional, to me anyways, it looked more of the traditional comic book.
I haven't seen a side-by-side comparison. All I remember is when I saw it last season, when he shows up in the costume, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I was a little disappointed with how he looked last season, I gotta admit.
I think everybody was, and I think that's why they made the upgrade in this season.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Clearly. But so the Punisher, so that black cop from the first season, mm-hmm. who Foggy was giving his mom cigars, Fred. And shit, is that his name? He Fred, has since been promoted to, mm-hmm. to detective or something. He shows up.
Well, he's still a cop now, and he's about to get promoted to detective because Daredevil's going to say, you just found him.
Did it? He was still.
He's like,
okay, yeah. He's about to arrest Daredevil, and Daredevil's like, you take the credit. You take the collar. Let the people know the system works, that cops are doing their jobs, that they don't need vigilantes to do this, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. And he uncuffs Daredevil, lets him go. He takes credit, I guess, for mm-hmm. nabbing the Punisher. Yeah. And I was like, this is only episode 4, and the Punisher is already going to jail? Like, was that all we're going to get? But then Matt meets up with Karen, and there's like a flirt. They start to flirt. They go after work together.
Off and on, this whole season, they've been teasing that. Like the pool scene where she's showing him how to play pool. And,
yeah. When Foggy goes to the bathroom, they get really cute. And Foggy shows up like, okay, you know?
Yeah. I thought that was going to be a thing this season. Like the tension between Foggy and Matt was, I thought it was going to be because of her.
Well, Foggy started banging Marcy last season.
In the beginning
of the season, he says something like he had a date. Like, how did it go? And he was like, you know, whatever. Like Foggy's dating. So I was like, okay, that's the whole trio, the love triangle. They're not going to play with anymore. But he walks her home, and they're in the rain, and it should have been a really sweet scene, but I just kept getting these awful Affleck flashbacks, like, oh, it's going to rain. I can see you when it rains or some shit.
No, it's funny. You're laughing at that. I'm laughing at whenever it's like, as soon as he, like, before he even touched her, she was already like almost hyperventilating, and she finally like put his finger on her arm.
Oh,
and she like on her arm. Started like breathing really heavily, about to pass out. And she's just cleaning it up. Like she's like ready to go.
Oh,
pretty much.
So she's like, do you want to come up? And like a gentleman, he says no,
mm-hmm.
but he goes, but I mean, I'd love to, but no, I won't. And they're like, okay. So he goes back up to his flat, and I don't want to be the guy who says called it, but he gets up to his flat and Elektra is waiting for him there. Mm-hmm. And also, called it. I mean, it's kind of predictable. Like the Punisher storyline is kind of done with, and he's just mm-hmm. got this burgeoning romance with Karen. So what perfect time for Elektra to show up. So episode 4 ends with her sitting in his apartment.
What I was saying before is like, it's almost two separate stories in a way. Mm-hmm. You got like the first half of the season, almost the first half, but of the whole Punisher introduction to Punisher of him going out, being introduced and being apprehended. And that kind of ends or puts, I say put on hold for a minute while they introduce Elektra into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to go through I think the first full episode of her, cause she's like introduced at the very end. It's like the last scene to see her sitting on the couch. The next episode is like the whole backstory of how they met and everything.
Yes.
That episode, it just, to me, I don't know about you, but for me, it is kind of drag. I mean, it's just,
we've discussed what we thought about John Bernthal's Punisher. What do you think of Elodie Young as, Elektra Natchios?
I have a thought on it, but you
speak it.
You,
speak you it, son. Something.
Well, no, because it's going to echo something you told me about the actress herself months ago, and you, I don't know if you want to say it now, but
I don't even remember.
Okay.
Well, I asked you. Don't answer with what I said. What'd you think? Say it.
Something about her didn't click for me for Elektra. I don't know. It just something was off with her portrayal for Elektra.
Did it make you miss Jennifer Garner?
Well,
it's not going nuts. But no. I mean, what you didn't? I mean, I gotta admit, my opinion varied because in the first few episodes, she's cocky as fuck. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of not overacting, but she's really chewing up the scenery. And then once she calms down a little bit, once Matt kind of breaks down her cocky wall, her character in only like, you know, seven episodes kind of fluctuates and changes a little bit.
That's a good point, yeah.
In the beginning, yeah. I gotta admit, 30 seconds in, I didn't like her. She was a little too cocky. She's, you know, like Matt's, you know, help me storm this compound. Well, tell me how we're going to do it. Oh, what would the fun be in me telling you? Let's just be surprised. Like, dude, we're about to risk our lives. Just tell me the fucking plan already. Stop being coy. Can you stop being flirty and coy for 2 seconds and tell me about the guys we're going to have to fight? You know, it was like that kind of a thing that bugged me.
It was okay for her character. I think I would have grasped a little bit better if it wasn't Elektra itself. Like, she played a good character, but I don't know. It being Elektra kind of ruined
it
for me.
Was she not, like, comic book Elektra enough for you?
Maybe. And that's probably what it was. Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about Elektra in the books. I have read Man of Fear, Man Without Fear, I'm sorry, the Frank Miller book where they met in college. And they were running on rooftops, and they got so in love, and then she kind of, like, ditched him and all that kind of stuff. And they kind of played that's how it went down. He met her in college, and they, you know. So I kind of like that they stuck with the Frank Miller origin, although I don't know any other origin besides that one. But also, Elektra's Greek. I don't want to be the guy who I've always complained about this. You're probably like, fuck, he's going there again. But yeah, I'm going there again. And I wouldn't care as much if they didn't establish it in season one. When they're having the Foggy and Matt are drunk and they're in college, when they come up with the whole avocados at law thing. He says something about, I should have taken Spanish, or you only took Spanish, you can meet that Greek girl, or something like that. They hint that Matt was dating a Greek girl.
Yeah. Okay.
And
see, I didn't go back and watch season one, so it's good that you pulled that.
So they said that. I mean, they probably didn't know who they were going to cast at the time. I don't know much about Elodie Young outside. Again, she was in a G.I. Joe Retaliation as...
And see, that's one thing you said about her that really stuck with me. It's like, she doesn't, like, she wasn't Asian enough for Jinx, but she's not Greek enough for Elektra.
Is that what I said?
something text.
That's funny. She's like half French, half Cambodian, the actress. She's a lovely actress and all that, but yeah.
Not taking anything away from her, but the roles that she's they put her in, it just, I don't know, it's just kind of productive for me.
Although in this iteration, and I don't know if this is canon from the books, she is adopted. So maybe her parents were Greek, and she adopted the name Nachios and shit, but I don't know if she's adopted in the books.
I'm not really sure either, so...
But she's the daughter of a Greek ambassador in this show. Mm-hmm. So they say she's Greek, but maybe she's just not, you know, genetically Greek or whatever. genetically. So we both kind of agree on... So she shows up and she's like, I need your help or something. I forget. Matt's like, get the fuck out.
Pretty much,
and then, yeah. And I did... Karen, I did... she starts getting all sleuthy with Ben Urich, with Vonnie Curtis Hall's old editor from the first season. Mm-hmm. I liked him in this season a lot. He got way more fleshed out. Last season, they were almost building him up to be like a traitor. Like, you think he's going to be on the take, and it turns out it was some secret...
More of an asshole in the first season.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to make us think that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they portray him as an asshole, and you think Vonnie Curtis Hall, Ben Urich even says, like, how much is Kingpin paying you? And he's like, what? And then at the end... When the FBI is like doing all the raids, turns out it was the secretary who was on the take, not the editor. So at the last minute of season one, turns out he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, yeah.
So she goes to him, and he like takes her under his wing in a really cool way. He's funny. He's not like, you know, kissing her ass. He's still kind of a hard boss to her and all that. I don't know. I really dug the scenes with him and her, and him sort of nurturing her burgeoning. This is like, what color is my umbrella for Karen? She's like, ooh, you should be a lawyer. You should take the bar. Ooh, you should be a reporter. Turns out she's just good at everything.
Apparently, yeah. That's the one thing that kind of threw me off, honestly, about her is like she started off, well, in the first season, she was just, you know, the assistant to, you know, Nelson and Murdoch. And this season, the first half during the Punisher storyline, she's like almost a damn lawyer, pretty much. And then the second half, it's like, did she get a job at the newspaper? Like, I don't know. It was like, internship or freelance. I don't know, but like he was treating her like an employee pretty much.
I think he saw her potential right away, but it was like episodes later where he basically says like, Karen, you're a reporter now. Like, and she didn't even realize it. Like, is that what I've been doing for the last few weeks? But I guess I am, you know?
Yeah.
He gives her Ben's office and shit. And he tells her like, my phone's ringing off the hook. It means you're rattling the right trees. Like he sees her potential, but he doesn't say it right from the get go.
Right.
He's like testing her to see how much she's going to commit to this. And it is until she's about to walk away that he finally says, like, you can't walk away. This is who you are. This is what you do now. You're now a reporter. I don't know. I kind of dug that. I don't know much about Karen. I mean, I know Karen and Matt become a thing in the books, mm-hmm. but I know it ended badly. I don't know exactly how. I read this one book where Matt is like, the whole book is him like talking to Karen, even though she's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's all I know. I don't know if dead or gone, but he's like saying, I'm sorry things went this way, whatever. It's a whole flashback book of him in the yellow suit and all that talking to Karen. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes they put a book that's kind of like a way to tell an origin story
for the
people who never bought Daredevil number one. Mm. It goes back to his father and Badland Jack and how he started it. And it's all like he's writing a letter to Karen who will never read it.
Yeah, that was, I think, the Marvel Comics series where they would do the character and then they would give it like a color. Like it was like Spider-Man blue and Daredevil yellow, I think. And Hulk was.
Yeah, I think that's what it was called, Daredevil yellow.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, they had those for a bunch of different characters at the time. But, in the middle of the season, after the while we're being introduced, it almost splits off into two storylines. We have Matt with Elektra doing their thing, and Foggy. This is what we kind of mentioned earlier, where he becomes like a kind of like show how good he is in the courtroom. And this, like, for a few episodes, it becomes the people versus Frank Castle almost pretty much. It's just like the whole courtroom, you know, bringing in witnesses and things like that. And
that, I know they say that the people versus Frank Castle. And it made me think of, you remember that TV movie, The Trial of the Incredible Hulk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the old Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk show. And Daredevil was in that show and he wore the black costume. Mm-hmm. Not because I suspect they were trying to be true to Frank Miller's depiction. I think it was just cheaper to put a guy in black tights rather than make a red horn costume. But yeah, he tries. He's the lawyer. And John Rhys-Davies was in that as the Kingpin, who was Gimli in Lord of the Rings. He was in it. Anyways. But that was a funny little TV show. And people, I remember, were complaining when Daredevil first showed up. Like, why is he in black? And that's not his thing. And I was like, yes, it is. It's in the comic. It was in the TV show. He wore the black bandana and the black shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
Where are we at?
okay, I got some stuff.
No.
There's this...
Okay. Well, I was going to say, maybe a couple episodes into Elektra, and if anybody knows the comic books, knows that there's one thing that Elektra is kind of associated with. It's, you know, obviously she's a ninja, but there's a big group, or is there an organization called the Hand. It's been well known in Marvel Comics for years, and we get the introduction of the Hand in this season, and...
It's a big part of Daredevil's story too, the Hand.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Last I remember, he was the leader of the Hand.
That was a storyline in the comics for a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He eventually became kind of like when Angel Investigations takes over Wolfram and Hart.
There you go.
Like
there you go.
Like that. Like we can control it and we can sort of steer them toward good, but it's still the fucking Hand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in this episode, I was kind of not surprised, but like a couple of episodes of explaining what the Hand is, I was like, man, we're actually going there. We're actually getting all this, all the ninja stuff and the history.
Well, Stick tells us the story of the Hand, doesn't he?
Do what?
Stick.
Yes. Yeah.
Stick comes back and he tells us the story,
which I thought that was kind of neat. The way he got he came back was there were, Daredevil and Elektra were in this like underground, the sewer tunnels, whatever. And they're about to find this big hole in the ground, literally this. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we find out that Daredevil, he can't fight, or he can't really use his senses in this area because the wind and everything from the hole was clouding his.
I thought it was just that he listens for heartbeats. That's like what he does. That's how he can tell where people are. And the Hand ninjas either don't have heartbeats.
They suppress them. He says something. They explain it. They suppress or something. Yeah.
Like, I thought it was, like, they're, like, zombies or something, like, for lack of, I mean, like Nobu, you know, he dies, but he comes back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, so he's not like a brains zombie, but he's not exactly, they're like undead almost. I thought that's what they were trying to imply.
Yeah. Always like for,
like they find that body and the guy's got autopsy mm-hmm. scars, you know, he shouldn't be alive, but clearly at one point he had died and was brought back in a way. I thought that's what
and
they
that
were
And that was
saying.
A good, reintroduction of, Claire, Rosario Dawson. She's back in the season.
I guess that was a good, I mean, actually it happens way earlier. It happens like in season episode three where Foggy's just like, I don't know where Matt is. Let me go find Claire.
Yeah,
and see if she knows. And it kind of like it felt a little shoehorned that episode with her.
You think
the first one did?
Because
the only reason to show her is because Foggy just goes to the hospital looking for Matt. He's not here. Okay, like there was a legitimate reason to bring her in later in the season. Do it there. Why do you have to have? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well,
like why shoehorn her in episode three when you have a legitimate reason for her to come in episode like five or six?
Yeah, and there's a whole like a subplot, not subplot, but just the thing. Well. The hospital not wanting to do anything about all these.
Well, we're jumping a little bit ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So they find this really deep hole, and Matt gets like a flashlight and throws it down. She like, let me know when it drops. And it's like 10 seconds of silence. And then the episode ends. And then the next episode starts. He's like there, like it's finally like, how deep is this fucking hole?
Yeah.
And that's when some ninja shows up. They fight them, and they're about to get overrun when Stick shows up. Oh, I think Elektra gets she gets shanked or something. She gets injured.
Yeah, across the stomach.
So Stick, Stick takes Elektra back to Matt's place. She's convalescing while Stick breaks down who the hand is.
Right. That's when the introduction of like the Black Sky and who this what this is and everything. And
well, they mentioned Black Sky last season.
Did they?
That's why Stick shows up. He needed Matt's help to go kill Black Sky, which was a little boy. And Matt's like, he's about to realize Stick's going to kill him. He stops Stick. And then, you know, they go back to his apartment. He's like, I wasn't going to let you kill him. And Stick's like, I already killed him like 2 hours ago. I left you and went and killed the kid. He's dead. And that's when they fight in his apartment. And then Stick leaves again.
See, this is why I keep you around, because you do stuff that I don't, because I don't go back and watch stuff.
I mean, they didn't say what Black Sky is last season. He just says, like, we got to stop him. They're bringing in Black Sky. We're like, okay. And then when they reveal Black Sky as a little boy, you're like, what? And then Stick killed him. So we still technically, even at the end of the season, what is Black Sky? We still don't really know. It's not a comic book thing. I looked it up because I wanted to know more.
Hmm.
It's something this show is creating, I think.
Oh, well.
I looked it up. Now I'm like, I think. So... Yeah, it turns out the hand is after something to do with Black Sky. And also the Yakuza is moving back into town, too.
No, they never left. That's what
they never left, yeah. Okay, help me out. Madame Gao, she's Yakuza? Or is it the guy with the blade on the knife, Nobu?
Nobu.
One's Chinese, one's Japanese.
Nobu was the main henchman, I guess, for the hand. Madame Gao was just, she knew stuff, but I don't think she was associated with it. That's what I gathered.
But there's more about her. Like, she kicked Daredevil's ass last season for a second. And she, even Kingpin, she's like, you speak English, or you speak my language.
Because
how many other languages do you speak? She goes, all of them. And then she says something like, I'm going back home. And then somebody says, like, to Japan. And she goes, something like that. Like, maybe where is she going? Where is she going to Kunlun or something? Where is she, you know, is it some other? There's something about her. She's more than what she seems, Madame Gao.
Yeah, which is good, because they're kind of sprinkling her in wherever they can, and it's not not like a focus of anything right now, anyways.
Yeah. So,
what do you think of all the like the courtroom stuff of bringing in the, like Clancy Brown? He's a new character this season. He's like the.
Oh yeah,
he's the witness, or he's the character witness for Frank Castle, and
he was like his ex CEO.
Yeah, was the courtroom stuff too much, or do you think that played into the season? Or
I don't usually find, you know, courtroom procedurals entertaining. You know, movies about that and TV. I don't want Law and Order. That's just it's not fun to me. Courtroom shit.
Yeah,
they didn't spend too much time on it, which I appreciated. And it, like I said, it got to show Foggy showing some competence and. I mean, there was a scene earlier on, I think in the hospital, when Frank Castle is in the hospital, and the Foggy and Matt and Karen show up to ask him if they can defend him instead of the public defender who is ready to just roll over for the DA and extradite him to another state which has a death penalty.
Delaware, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Delaware. Yeah. Hey, we're in Delaware. So they're like, this DA is this public defender. He's like, what, how many cases have you had? Like, this will be my second. He's just going to roll over for the DA. And so they show up and say, hey, Matt, hey, Punisher, you let us defend you. We'll actually try and keep you alive. And Punisher doesn't give a shit until Karen pulls out the photo that she took from his house. She broke into his house and has a family photo.
Yeah.
And then the DA shows up and she's like, you have no right to be here. What do you can't, I can have you disbarred and blah, 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 blah. And they're like, technically you shouldn't be here. Blah, blah, blah. They hit her back with their law. Yeah. Nonsense. I don't know. It sounds good. The legal mumbo jumbo. Yeah. And they both put that cunty DA in her place. And then the cop comes out, who has since been promoted detective. He's like, he says that these are his new lawyers now. And he's like, well, technically, then you shouldn't be here questioning our client without his representation. They put her in her place, yeah, which is cool because I hate that fucking DA.
Well, that's going to pay off later on in season two. So,
yeah. So, yeah. So they're now the Punisher's lawyers. Lawyered.
Oh, here we go.
So their case is going pretty good. Clancy Brown is an awesome witness. He sets up a story about how, like, the Punisher, he was on, you know, he was in Afghanistan or something, and some dickhead, you know, officer sent them into an ambush, and then Frank went in and saved everybody's life, including that dickhead officer who almost got them killed. He tells his story. And the DA shows up, and she's like, you know, how do you know exactly what went down? You weren't there. You didn't witness it. Because I was, man. Maybe I wasn't clear. That dickhead officer, that was me. And it's like, bitch, fuck you. And the assistant DA is like, yeah, well, why didn't you catch that? She goes, everything was redacted or black ops. How was I supposed to know?
Yeah, it was one of those things. Because he said he got his arm blown off or hand blown off or whatever. And then later on, it's when you see he's missing his right hand. So
what?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch any of that.
Really?
Yeah. He had a fake hand?
No, it wasn't a fake hand. It was a hook. Like his right hand.
He had a hook hand?
Yeah.
That was not made clear to me. I did not catch any of that. I mean, granted, like, you know, some of the stuff I was like doing something with it on in the background. You know, I didn't just sit down with a bowl of popcorn and watch every episode taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
I totally missed that he had a fake. Really? That's funny. Was he had a hook?
Yeah, the little hook clamp thing, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, if you ever lost your hand, what would you get in place of it? Like a rubber hand, like a kingpin, or like a hook hand, like not king, yeah, like movie kingpin, right, yeah, not I know Wilson Fisk kingpin. Okay, yeah, well, kingpin.
Well, shit,
is
the man. Now they have those the robotic hands that they're hooking up to their.
Well, yeah, those are expensive as fuck. Yeah. You couldn't afford one of those robotic hands.
Well,
be realistic. You know what I would want? I would want like a wooden hand, but I'd want it to like start like really far, like on Happy Gilmore. You know how Carl Weathers' hands were like it's like a good like 8 inches past, and when he's poking Happy Gilmore, I lost my shit in Happy Gilmore when he's this alligator, and that's hilarious. I would do that just as a joke. I'd get like a really long black wooden hand, and I'd smash it and then tape it up really shitty for right, extra gag. Yeah, that's what I would do if I ever lost my hand. So anyway, so the trial's going really good. And they're like, we're going to put, Your Honor, I call Frank Castle to the stand. And they're like, all you got to do is just go through the script we wrote, blah, 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 blah. It's super simple and you'll get life. And as a bailiff is walking in, Frank Castle to the stand, he says something like, just remember what we told you to do. He just says something shifty, shady. And of course, Matt hears it.
Right.
And he goes on the stand. And Punisher's basically like, you guys are calling me crazy. I ain't crazy. I knew exactly. I'd do it again. I'd kill them all. I liked it. I liked it. And he just flushes their case down the toilet. He's guilty. And you know he kind of did this on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're taking Frank to jail. They're walking him down. Again, this is all shady because that same bailiff guy or whatever is working the prison.
Yeah,
and he's like, I got this guy, and the other guards are like, whose authority? He goes, the wardens, and they're like, whatever, man. I just work here. He walks him down to a gym, where a guy's bench pressing shitload of weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy gets up. We see a bald head from behind, turns around. Like, ah, I see you accepted my invitation. And it's the Kingpin.
Yeah.
And then that season ends. Were you expecting Kingpin this season?
Not really, because I haven't really heard anything that he was going to be in this season. So I thought it was a nice pull to actually tie him in to this season. Matter of fact, the next episode after that, it's like a whole, like the whole episode, like starts.
The cold open is basically summing everything he did up until that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so it was a nice
tie in to what happened after the first season, where he's been and what's been going on. And he's still the fucking Kingpin in prison now, I guess.
Well, in order to become the Kingpin, he has to take out, his first day there, the prison's head honcho, William Forsythe. My man, I haven't seen him in a while. He's a great character actor. He's been so many good things from Stone Cold to The Rock and a lot of good shit. He basically says like, there's only room in this prison for one Kingpin. It ain't going to be you, whatever. So that's been established. So you were happy to see the Kingpin. Did you like Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin last season?
You know what? I didn't really have a problem with his portrayal. I thought he had a good presence of this big imposing guy as the Kingpin. So I enjoy it. And I like him as an actor too. So I thought it worked out pretty good.
I liked it. I love Vincent D'Onofrio as an actor too. I think he's great. I didn't like how they portrayed the Kingpin. I didn't like his strange way of talking, and I don't know his portrayal, and then the way he was sort of like almost autistic, and the way he was like a little kid at times, like he's never talked to a girl before or something like that. Like he was like a little boy, and a lot of times he would lose his shit. Like I think Kingpin is pretty calm and knows what he's doing, but he just like, you embarrassed me in front of her, let me chop your head off. With a car door.
With a door.
He just loses his shit. He's irrational and crazy. And I don't know. It was interesting, but it's not the route I would have taken with the Kingpin personally.
Yeah.
But it turns out he was the one orchestrating getting Frank Castle to throw the case just so he can bring him in to basically use Frank Castle to take out his competition, William Forsythe.
Yeah.
That's the Kingpin's plan.
Which in Castle ends, he ends up doing it, and then he gets set up by Kingpin.
Yeah, they have a good scene where Punisher's like, why should I help you? Whatever, and he's like, I know you have no reason to help. What do they expect? The rising tide raises all ships. You know, he goes, yeah, you will be helping me, but you will also be killing the guy who knows information about why your family was killed. Like, are you gonna not kill that guy just despite me? Of course you're gonna do it. Yeah, it's a pretty good scene. And once he tells them that William Forsythe might know some information about his family, Punisher's like, you know, what do you want me to do? How do I do it? They give him a shiv, and they're like, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to make do with just this shiv. So the guard who they have on the payroll gets him into D block, which is surrounded by William Forsythe and his cronies. They get him into the cell. He questions him, says he was basically there to orchestrate a meeting between the Irish, the Yakuza, and some other gang.
Was it the Dogs of Hell or whatever?
The bikers. The biker gangs. Yeah. It was like a meeting between the three people, and it went south. People started shooting, and that's how the Punisher's family just wound up in the crossfire of this gang meeting gone bad. So does that mean that how long has Punisher's family been dead? Not very long, right? So William Forsythe like just got into prison like a year ago? And is running the shit?
That wasn't made clear.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, I'm running this prison. You'd think he'd been there a while. And then he's like, I was there when your family was killed. Like, what, last week? Like, so that was a little fuzzy on how that worked.
Well, you got to think, like, Punisher has at least been gearing up for this kind of stuff for a while. Because that little rundown apartment that he had earlier on just like, stolen military weapons and shit like that. And he wasn't really organized. But he could tell that he's been preparing for this stuff.
But his house looks like it was lived in. Like there's still food on the table, and there's still the grass is mowed. Like it looks like his house. Like you would think a house just sitting, because he even says like I never went back. You would think a house just sitting there on the market or whatever, people would have been like, okay, it's crime scene, or let's sell this, or let's auction, or whatever, you know? But the fact that his house remained untouched gives you a sense, like, maybe this shit went down not too long ago.
Maybe. I don't know. Like to me, it wasn't made very clear, like, how long ago that was, but...
But so William Forsythe tells him what he wants to know, and the Punisher shivs him anyway. Mm-hmm. And he starts sneaking out, and then the guard closes the gate on him. He's like, come on, man, let me out. And then the Kingpin stands like, thank you, Mr. Castle. I couldn't have done it without you. And then Punisher, and then all the henchmen are like, oh shit, they killed the boss, man, whatever. Let's get him. And Punisher, like, fuck it. Starts charging into like 12 guys or something with just a shiv, and they all have shivs and axes and like pool cues that are broken or something. They all have, like, you know, prison weapons. Mm-hmm. And he kills them all, man, in like this awesome. I mean, it's not one take. There's like a little 300-ish, because it like goes slow-mo for a second, mm-hmm, and then it speeds up, and it has like a little old boy feel to it, like, because he's just like stabbing guys and bashing their heads in. It's an awesome. He gets cut a little bit too, but it's an awesome fucking scene. And he's just lying there with just covered in blood, with like surrounded by the 12 bodies of the dudes he killed. It's just a fucking cool. That scene is like worth prize of admission for this show.
That one was, wow. Okay, I'm going back to the staircase scene, the stairwell scene. I thought that was
a fight with punches. This is killing guys and stabbing them in the eyes and gouging them with your thumbs and cutting throats and blood. Like, this was killing people, not Daredevil punchy.
You didn't like that?
I liked it. I liked it, but I mean, what's going to trump the other? The one with blood flying everywhere? Or the one? I mean, sorry.
Well, definitely the Punisher was definitely more. Yeah, it was definitely more violent and visceral than the Starville scene. But I thought the action was better in that first scene. But.
I mean, yeah, it was choreographed better and it had more jumps and fancy kicks, and because Daredevil's a ninja. And the thing is also, you know, Daredevil could outfight these guys. It was like, yeah, mm-hmm, that's what he does every night. But to just take a shiv and kill like 12 guys, like, shit, like, because he's not a ninja. He's just a Marine Force recon or something like that. I think he said he was a Marine. I don't know. I like that scene better. It was better lit. It was, mm-hmm, in daytime instead of in the shady stairwell. It used like the slow motion techniques, like I was saying. It had the blood. I've seen Daredevil kick ass already. I haven't seen Punisher kick as much ass without guns. So it was. I don't know. That's my money.
It was good. It was good to see that he can still hold his own in just hand to hand combat.
Yeah. And he didn't do like fancy tricks. It was just punches, and you know, he dodges a punch, but he wasn't like, you know, doing flips off walls and stuff, which is cool to see Daredevil do, but. Yeah, it was more realistic.
One thing I was kind of confused about was we get a reveal that Clancy Brown, the colonel, whatever, he actually was he was betraying Frank Castle. There's a subplot in there somewhere.
Oh, you want to jump to the
end? That's why. Yeah, that's what, and that's why Castle goes to his place and takes care of him, pretty much. But did you catch all that? Like, what the point of that was? Like, what he did to Castle?
I didn't, to be honest. I didn't understand his plot. This is what I was saying. There was too many bad guys. Mm-hmm. too much shit going on. Like,
there's a lot of stuff going on this season.
Is it the Hand? Is it Nobu? Is it the Punisher? Is it the Punisher? Is it the Kingpin? Is it the Punisher's old officer, CEO guy? It was like just too many. Is it Gao? Is it? Yeah, just too many fucking people. I didn't get. And plus, how did the Punisher know
about him?
Yeah,
like I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Okay. We should say the Punisher kills all those dudes. He gets put like solitary. The Kingpin lets him out under the Kingpin's orders. The guards release the Punisher back out in the world, so the Punisher can just take out his competition. Just shoot, kill all the crime, whatever. So that happens. So that's how Punisher gets free. And then Karen, still investigating, goes to see the Colonel guy. Mm-hmm. We're jumping ahead. There's a boat full of heroin or something, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. So there's a boat, and Frank storms the boat. Daredevil shows up, and Frank thinks he's found the guy who killed his family. And he's about to shoot him. He's just tell me you did it. Just tell me you're the guy. And he goes, like, yes, I'm the guy. I did it. And then Daredevil shows up. He's like, that's not the guy. Somebody probably paid him off to tell you he's the guy, so you would kill him or whatever. Like,
don't know. And point is, everybody in the boat dies. Frank Castle is presumed dead. Karen shows up, and it's like the opening scene of Usual Suspects. They're just pulling bodies out of this boat that blew up. And she sees a guy, like a blonde guy with like a scar on his face or something, or
who's in something like that. She recognized the guy.
Yeah. Well, he just has some distinctive features to him. Yeah, he was blonde with like a scarred up face.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, she goes to the CEO's house because she wants to get like a little bit more information of Frank on her story, like an expose. And she's looking at the wall, and it's pictures of him, you know, on doing tours and all these, you know, Afghanistan, whatever. And she sees a picture of that guy, the blonde guy with the scarred face, with the colonel,
right.
Yeah. And that's how she figures out, oh, like there was ex soldiers on that boat who know this colonel. That's how she puts it together. He pulls a gun on her. He's like, "Drive, lady," and you know they're driving, and that's when Frank shows up, and you know, but how did he know he was bad?
Like, I don't know, like, it was a very convoluted thing, because I was watching it, and I was not understanding what I was watching. So how Daredevil, Punisher knew what that situation was going on, I have no idea. If listeners out there, if you can enlighten us, please let us know, because we're lost on that subject.
Yeah, I'll go back and rewatch the season when Luke Cage drops.
but basically, like, Karen, you know, she's just waking up from that car wreck, you know, and the colonel's not there. There's no one in the truck that hit him. She's walking around. She sees a trail of blood going back to this little cabin, the woodshed. Sorry, it's like a woodshed.
It's like Evil Dead.
Yeah,
pretty much. Tools on the wall.
Yeah. And that's where Frank he's got the colonel, and
she's like, "If you kill him, like, we're done. Like, I'm not gonna talk to you anymore." Like, and he kills him. He doesn't care. She's walking away, and you just hear, and he kills him. And turns out Clancy had like a secret cache of weapons in his tool shed, which Frank,
like, it was a secret apartment, and he figured this out, and he opened up this door, and there's like just weapons everywhere. And
Before this happens, though, Karen, who gets police protection, goes back to her apartment, and she some sniper starts shooting up at her apartment. Right. Okay. Frank walks in. Okay. We forgot something else. The DA, the cunty DA, brings in Nelson and Murdoch, and she's like, then she turns out she was the one behind. Turns out the meeting between the Dogs of Hell and the Yakuza and the Irish and all that kind of stuff, there was some undercover cops there, and she was running it.
Yeah.
And they're like, "You didn't clear the park, did you?" She goes, "We thought it would be suspicious if we cleared the park, so we held this deal with civilians there." Turns out it's kind of her fault that the deal went south and everybody got killed, whatever. And Frank Castle's family, they got killed kind of because of her mess. Frank he took a bullet to the head. There's this x-ray throughout the whole show of a skull x-ray. And I thought they were going to allude to the fact that that's why Frank took the skull as his symbol. Because the newspaper, the Punisher, and there's that x-ray image. Like, people were associating that skull image with Punisher. I thought they were going to say that that's why he took a skull.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Because of the x-ray. I thought that's what they're going to do too, yeah.
So he's in a coma or whatever. She puts a DNR on him. Because she wants a do not resuscitate, because she wants him to die, because it would just all go away if the whole family was killed. She could just squash it. She makes the medical examiner lie and say that they don't know who this guy was. Yes. He was a John Doe and everything like that. And that's why she's been so hell bent on squashing this case from the beginning, because it was all on her ass. Yeah. And as she's saying this, a sniper kills her through the window. So she's dead. And this is right after the Punisher escapes prison. So everybody, the press, they're all assuming the Punisher killed her. So he shows up at Karen's apartment. She pulls a gun on him. And he's like, "I didn't do it." And then all of a sudden, bullets coming in. He's like, "Do you believe me now?" So her and the Punisher kind of like are together for a little while of the show.
Yeah, for an episode or two. Yeah. They're kind of on the run together pretty
and
much.
And he's even like a, like 380. Like, that's a good weapon. Like, why'd you buy it? They have a good scene. They have a few good scenes.
Was that the diner scene?
That's the diner scene. Yeah. It turns out they were sitting by the window because he was kind of using her as bait to send people after her. That's how we knew where the boat was. That's how we knew where the boat was. The guy in the diner told him about the boat. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Did you think in the diner scene when they kept focusing on the waitress bringing him coffee? because they showed the waitress quite a bit.
Yeah,
like, focus on her like pouring the coffee and stuff. I thought that she was gonna be something. I don't know if that was a red herring or what, but
I thought she would just recognize him from the paper or something,
right? And call the cops. Me too. Yeah. Because he had to be on the news.
Because he would not only was he like showing her face, he was chatting. Like, is this the best coffee you got? Like, he was talking to her, showing his face. I thought she'd be like, "I know this guy."
He was all busted up. He got black eyes. And Rick.
Yeah. So yeah, then he that's how he knew to go to the boat. Then he goes and kills Clancy, gets his weapons, and from there he kind of becomes the. He finds a piece of like a bulletproof vest,
mm-hmm.
which conveniently. The metal cover, it's kind of like shaped like a skull.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if they make those or if that was motherfucker. That shit's custom. But he kind of becomes a Punisher, yeah. So that's kind of the end of his story. In the meantime, all this hand electro shit's been going on.
And it more is, backstory, yeah.
There's, it is like two. Backstory. It is like two shows. It kind of reminds me of I don't know if you watched True Blood, but season two of True Blood did the same thing. But the whole season is almost like two entirely separate stories where Sookie goes to Dallas with Bill and Eric, and then the Meanad is in Bon Tom's running amok there. And then in like the final episode, Sookie comes back to town and the two stories come together.
Yeah. It's yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. Like this thing does not affect the other thing in Daredevil at all. It was so disjointed. Mm-hmm. I kind of said the same thing about Jessica Jones. It kind of became the Luke Cage show, then it became the Purple Man show, and then it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this one did it kind of even worse. That's my big critique about this was A, it was too messy, but B, it was very disjointed. Too many things going on that had nothing to do with each other.
I do like the, you know, the whole build up to the final fight, which, well, before that, I'm sorry, we've been saying that a lot before that. We're going back and forth. Yeah. I apologize. Well,
okay, really quick. There's a flashback of them in college, Elektra and Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt mentions to her about this guy I think killed my dad, but I can never track him down. So they go into some rich person's house and she's like, "Oh, it's a friend of mine. Let's drink a champagne." And then the person comes in. It turns out it's the, like she felt like, "Hey, Matt, this is the guy who killed your dad. I found him for you." She's like, "Like, kick his ass." They tie him up and Matt's punching the fuck out of him. She gives him that. She's like, "Now kill him." Oh, the whole time he's punching her, she's like, oh, she's like coming, watching Matt beat this guy up. And she's like, "Come on, kill him. You know, you want to." And that's what ends a relationship. She was like too bloodthirsty. She wanted to kill. It's like a thing with her that she likes killing.
Yeah.
Plus, with Stick, we get flashbacks of her as a kid. She was bloodthirsty even as a little kid. And whoever Stick was working for, they're like, she can't
be controlled. She killed a dude.
Yeah. She can't be controlled. They're like, kill her. And then Stick, rather than let them kill her, kills them and then squirrels her away with some Greek ambassador. Hmm. He's like, just chill out with them for a while. So Stick has been like nurturing this killer instinct of hers for years.
Yeah.
Calls her, it turns out he's known her since she was a kid. He calls her Ellie and shit.
Hmm.
So Elektra's kind of a bad seed. She's kind of a bloodthirsty. That's why her and Matt can never get along. Oh, and but then Matt like falls in love with her anyway and says like, "Be with me." Like, I thought you were making out with Karen just like last night on the steps.
Yeah, everybody got over everybody pretty fast.
Well, it's like no, he tells Elektra like, you know, I can't be with you anymore. You're wrong, whatever. And then Karen is like, "This city needs heroes, but not you." Basically, Matt, we're done. He's like, "Oh shit, Elektra, I think we should be together." Like, that didn't work out, so let me go fucking try and fuck Elektra instead.
Well, because he's earlier when we mentioned that Elektra got cut across the stomach, they're healing her up in his apartment, and Karen walks in and she's in the bed and him and Stick are in the room, and she's I'm thinking of the scene of Bad Boys when
"Can you leave me and Mrs. Burnett alone?" Yeah. You see Mike, he come out, he got a shirt open. Yeah. Yeah. The shit looks like they're having one big motherfucking orgy and ain't nothing happened. Ain't nobody doing none of this. Yeah.
Yes. But that's what I thought.
That's a good analogy. But the thing is, like, okay, if it was just her and Matt, Elektra and Matt, okay. But there's an old man there. Like, what do you think's going on if there's an old man in the room? Like, clearly I don't understand what's going on. If it was just you two, I can understand her jumping the gun. But there's an old blind man. Like, what do you think? We're fucking in the room, but we like to keep an old blind man because he can't see us fuck. I don't know why she got so butthurt. There's a lot of butt. There's a lot of hurt butts in this season. Everybody's butts hurting. Matt goes to see the Kingpin in jail as Matt Murdock.
Oh, that was a really good scene too.
There's a Yeah, there's a scene though right before I don't know why I just rewound it where Matt is talking to the Kingpin's lawyer who looks like Fireball from Running Man, says like, you have to sign this affidavit. We made it in Braille. Mr. Fisk is a very thoughtful man. Then he hands it to Matt. Matt starts to read it with his hand and then turns it right side up and starts over again. And that's when I rewound it. And I realized that dude did that shit on purpose. There was a safety, a paperclip. He knew what the right side was. He handed it to Matt upside down. He's, what kind of dickhead fucks with a blind man? He's like, here's your paper if it's upside down. Oh, I didn't know. I don't read Braille. Fuck that dude, man. Fucking with a blind man. So yeah, Matt goes to meet the Kingpin. And basically it's like just threatening each other. He says, I can keep Vanessa. I can keep her out of the country. She wants to come back, and I'll make sure she never comes back. And that's when Kingpin loses his shit, as he is wont to do, and starts beating up a blind man. And Matt gets a punch in. He's like, the boxer's son, which is cool because it shows he's done his his research. He learns who Matt is. Yeah, I thought a boxer's son. That was a good line. It shows Kingpin will learn about who...
Without saying much.
Yeah, that shows that he did his research, and who am I going to meet with? I want to know everything about him. I want to know where he lives. I want to know his partners in case I need to kill him or some shit. He basically said... I forget what he said, but he said, I'll kill Franklin Foggy Nelson. He goes, no, it was just me. I only did it. No, I'll kill your whole family. I'll kill the pretty Karen, whatever. And so Matt...
He put Matt in his place pretty much. Even from
prison. There's no way he can't touch Matt. And there's no way Matt can touch him. Well, not really. I mean, I'm untouchable, and you can't stop me from touching you. At the slightest whim, he could kill Matt and everybody he knows from prison. And Matt can't prove it because, well, I'm in prison. How can you blame me? You know? He's got a perfect alibi. I was in my cell. But I guess it...
I was just going to say one thing. There's another little plot going on this season with these children. They find out that are being captured. Someone's son is missing. The coroner. The coroner, the medical examiner, his son is being held captive, and that's why he helped them cover up everything.
Was that who that was?
I think it was the guy
with the bodyguards. He's like, they're not my bodyguards. They're to make sure I don't tell. I thought he was like an accountant or some shit who was like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Not the medical examiner. The accountant they had. And he found out that they have his son held captive. We don't know why. But Daredevil goes and finds him. And there's just a room, this underground room. And there's like, what, three, four different cages, five like different cages. And those kids in all these cages. And they're having their blood drained.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're selling their plasma for like $25 a pop, yeah.
But that was the thing. All of it was going into this. What would you call it? Like not a tomb or something.
To be honest, that's where I was kind of like tuning in and out. I was doing something. I don't remember a lot of what he discovered because it was like a slow scene, no action. Yeah. I was like, let me make something neat with the TV on. I don't remember what he found. All I remember is he rescued some kids and took them to the hospital. And then he goes, see, that's where you should have introduced Claire. Because he's like, we got to keep this off the books, you know? So there's like a wing being renovated. So they put all those people in the secret wing of the hospital.
And I like her character because, like, she wants no part of it because it's all nothing but shit hits the fan whenever he's around. So she's like, no, I don't want to do this. But he talks her into, you know, bringing in these like, five kids, whatever, and keep it off the books, like you said. And that comes back again. To affect her.
Does it? I think no, she treats them all and everything turns out fine, right?
Yeah, as shit does happen in the show. Nothing wrong happened.
No, but what what does happen? How does this shit specifically hit the fan in this instance?
These kids, this one kid, they get up all of a sudden, and the father, the accountant, whatever, he comes in. Next time we see him, they go into the room and he's dead. The son killed him. And all the kids are lined up.
The son kills him? Like... The accountant guy? Oh, I think I remember that. Okay, what else? I don't remember that episode a lot.
And this is when, like, Claire and her coworker or whatever, they go in here, and that's when the hand starts showing up in the hospital. They kill Claire's coworker, and they take all the kids back, and yeah, it cuts to like the next day where Claire is pretty much being blamed for all this because they're going to put all the blame on her because she brought them in under the, you know, off the books. They weren't signed in or anything like that. So the hospital could write it off. Like, we didn't know anything about it. And she's like, had enough. She says, this place used to be a place to treat people and not worry about, you know, money and things like that. So she basically quits the hospital. So
yeah,
that was pretty much the end of her appearances pretty much when she left that place.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. But that all kind of leads up to like the main Elektra and Daredevil gearing up for the final battle pretty much.
With Nobu, who has been established, is kind of leading the hand. The guy from the first season who with the knife on the chain who fought Mehu.
The guy that whipped Daredevil's ass.
And then Daredevil set him on fire. Turns out he didn't die. He's got burns on him, but he didn't die. So he's kind of the one running the thing. They kidnap Stick. Well, before that happens, Stick and Elektra kind of butt heads, and Elektra's at a bar. God, there was so much going on at this point. This is where I kind of like it got so busy at the end. Like one scene, Matt and Claire on the roof of the hospital. Next scene, Punisher is in Karen's apartment getting shot at. Next scene, Kingpin is sitting in his cell. Next scene, Elektra is fighting some nameless guy at an airport hangar. And by that point, I'm like, I totally forgot what was going on with that. Like, it was just so many things going on at once.
Well, the guy, the French guy that attacks her at the airport, right before she kills him, he says that Stick is the one that sent him to kill her. And that's where we get the size. She finally gets her little weapon she's going to have.
I was going
to
be pissed if they didn't include those. Although they never really included the whole red outfit.
Kind of disappointing in the costume choice. But I guess, I don't know, her costume in the comics isn't really... what's the word I'm looking for?
Functional?
Practical?
Yeah. At least give her the bandana on the head. How hard? Right? Instead, they do the opposite. And they give it upside down and cover her mouth. It's supposed to cover her head, not her mouth. It's, you know... You got it wrong. Upside down, motherfucker.
But also,
you know what? Give her like a black outfit, but put like the red over it, like some red straps or something. I don't know. Just something to resemble the Elektra comic.
Yeah, there's nothing. Nothing resembling the comic Elektra at all. Besides her getting to the size and everything like that, she gets an upgraded costume from Mr. Potter. Also, but at the same time, that's when Mr. Potter, he gives Daredevil his
billy clubs with the wires in them.
Finally,
which is cool. And he didn't even need to make it. He goes, I just made this for you. And Daredevil's like genuinely like, thanks, man. Like, you know, I thought that was cool. And he says something like words out. People know who's really got our back. It's good character. I like him. He's becoming like his Q. Or whatever. his Lucius Fox.
There you go. Yeah.
His gadget guy. So Daredevil tells Elektra, we got to go rescue Stick. And she's like, I'm not going to. He tried to kill me. He's like, well, I'm going by myself. So she accompanies Matt. They storm all the ninjas. Matt's getting his ass kicked while they're sticking bamboo in Stick's fingernails. He looks like Lady Deathstrike. Just these long sticks sticking out of his fingers. And I guess he can hear Matt's fighting him, and Matt can't find. And he's like, he's whispering. It's like, Matt, like if you can, you're doing this wrong. You're listening for heart. You were listening for their weapons. So they put their weapons away. He's like, you gotta listen to them breathe. And he's coaching. He's still tutoring Matt from like several rooms away. He's telling him what he needs to do, which is cool because these guys both have their superhero and shit. Really quick, not off topic, but Stick was born blind. But how are his, like, Matt got the radioactive waste, which affected him genetically, I guess, improved his senses. How is Stick able to do what Matt can do? Do you know anything about Stick in the comics? I don't. Not really. I know who he is.
He was, in the comics, all I knew from him from the comics was he was Daredevil's blind mentor, his trainer. That's it. And maybe just because he's so attuned to his senses are heightened too, but not to the extent.
It seems like it. Remember that first in season one where he's like, what do you taste? He's like ice cream. And he's smelling the ice cream. And he's like traces of this milk from four different dairies. Like he's fucking, he's like every bit as on the ball as Matt is. He takes the beer. He flicks it. It's like ding, ding, ding. Like banks it over, and then it goes in the trash can. Like he's a badass too. Maybe even more so than Matt. Probably is. The only thing is that he's older, but I think he's probably more badass than Matt.
What do you think about the actor
Scott Glenn? I like Scott Glenn. I think he's fine. They wrote it as an asshole, so he's doing what's asked of him. He's making him an asshole. But I mean, I don't like Stick because he's an asshole. But I can't blame that on the actor because that's on the page that he's an asshole. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think Scott Glenn does a good job with it. He's fine. I do like Scott Glenn. He was in Urban Cowboy, which they filmed just down the road from you, Pasadena.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So. So that means I like him. Because he was in a movie one time that they filmed really, really close to where I used to live.
Okay, so are we at the final battle scene yet? On the rooftop?
Pretty much. Yes, they rescue Stick. No, not yet. They rescue Stick, and they untie him, and that's when Nobu shows up and reveals that all along, dun-dun-dun, Elektra is Black Sky. That was a big reveal. And again, we don't know what the fuck Black Sky is, so it's hard to get like, oh, she's Black Sky. What is Black Sky? You know? It's hard to get like excited because we don't know what it is. But apparently, and she's like, of course, I knew it all along. I love to kill. It's in me. And they're like, we will worship you. They're like her goddess and everything like that. And everything they've been doing is about getting at her because she's like the ultimate killer or something like that.
Yeah, she's important to the hand.
Yeah.
So that's what,
She's like their mascot or something. I know. So, and Matt's telling her, like, you can choose to not be Black Sky or whatever. I don't know. Don't be bad, be good, basically, is what it comes down.
Yeah.
And she chooses Matt. She fights them off. They get Stick out of there. Stick just escapes. We don't see him again. And them two make it to the rooftop. And they're in, like, a little shed. And it's like Last Stand or something. They're about to go out. And like we can either die right here, or we can go out and take as many of them with us, whatever. And Matt's saying like, if we make it through this, let's be together. Let's go away. We'll go to Paris. Let's be together. Yeah. She says okay. I forget. She's like, yeah, let's do it. Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So they come out. Matt and Elektra are fighting Nobu and a bunch of hand soldiers, and then Elektra gets stabbed.
Naboo's about to, he has one of her size and he's about to stab Daredevil, and she kind of jumps in front of him and she takes the hit. Which, were you surprised whenever she got stabbed and pretty much died?
Because
I wasn't. I knew that it was going to end. I knew it was going to end in tragedy.
Again, Jennifer Garner got there first. I mean, that's also a thing when it's been established. Like Nobu died, and you know, it's a thing. And I mean, I kind of saw it coming. So Matt, like, he takes his helmet off, and he's like Elektra, and she's like dying. And so Matt starts to go fight his way through the remaining hand ninjas. To get to Nobu, and as he's fighting him, all of a sudden their heads start exploding. And you're like, what the fuck? And it turns out Punisher's on the rooftop over with a sniper rifle taking out ninjas. And Daredevil's like, yeah, fuck that. So he just starts moving through the ninjas whose heads are blowing up, and he fights Nobu. And I think...
Which he just threw him... He kind of like tossed him off the roof, and I was like, that's not going to kill him. Well, so it's a good thing that Stick was waiting for
him. Yeah, he's on the ground, kind of dead, and his eyes open. And he's like, he gets up. He's like, oh, once I'm healed, Matt Murdock, I will kill. And then Stick, like, stabs him and then cuts his head off, which I guess is the only... It turns out the hand are like Highlanders. You cut their head off, they stay dead. Yeah. And then Frank Castle from, like, the rooftop over does... Okay, does he know Daredevil can hear him? Because he says it like, you go get him, Red, or something like that. He says something to Matt Murdock. Is he just like saying it more to himself, or does he say it because he knows Matt can hear him?
I took it as he knew he could hear him, but again, like, does he know that he could hear him?
I mean, there's moments where Matt, I think, and Punisher says something. He's like, they're coming up. He's like, they're coming up the stairs. There's two of them. Like, he says things where clearly he's letting the Punisher know, he's kind of badass that way. So maybe Punisher figured it out, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he was just saying it like, It also reminded me of the end of the Daredevil movie where Joe Pantoliano is like, go get a mat from like a street away. And Ben Affleck like nods like he heard him. So Scott Glenn, Stick, kills Nobu. Elektra's dead. Franklin and Murdoch are no mas. Avocados at Law are no mas.
Right.
They disbanded it. Foggy. He meets up with Marcy. Who, I like that character, Marcy. I don't know why. She's feisty. She's fun. I like her. She gets him an interview with a very prominent attorney, yes. Hogarth, yes. From Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. She hires Fogg.
As soon as you saw the back of the head, did you know who?
I think it was the voice. Because again, I wasn't like watching the screen. I think I was something. So. I wasn't looking up, but I heard like you come very highly recommended. And I looked up like that was her. That was Jerry Amos, which is neat. A way to tie her in. And she implies that she's hiring him because he has experience with vigilante trials, as if she can see the where the weather's changing. She knows this is going to become an issue. Yeah. Vigilante and all that kind of stuff. So she can see where the climate's headed. Yeah. So she hires him. I guess Karen's a journalist now. I don't know what Matt is doing, like job wise.
That's the one thing I liked about Daredevil or Matt Murdock in this season was like we talked about earlier. He told Foggy, "I'm tired of apologizing for who I am," and he pretty much is. I took it as he's given up his day job or his that Matt Murdock persona, and he's going full board with the Daredevil, and he's not going to worry about the people that he was trying to be worried about in the first place.
Yeah, there's a scene where the scene where they're in like the woodshed before Matt and Elektra like decide to go off in a hail of bullets, whatever. Where he says like, "I can't not be Daredevil. I like it. I need this. I need to do this. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. I can't give it up." So yeah, he's Daredevil first, and an attorney second. Yeah,
yeah. Which I like that. I like that he went there. They're not dragging it out any longer. Is he conflicted with, should he be more focused on having the secret identity type thing, or should he be full on vigilante or superhero? They're cutting that out and he's going full on superhero or vigilante or whatever. So, I thought that was a good choice. So we don't have to worry about that going forward. For right now, anyways, I guess.
Yeah, so I think that kind of covers it, except at the very, very the tail end, we see the hand has gotten a hold of Elektra's body, and does she wake up or something or?
No,
they put her in a sarcophagus. That was the end scene, right? It turns out they got so we.
Yeah, that was after. There's a funeral scene, pretty much, where Stick and Matt are. And then it ends on that one where she's being taken by the hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So again, we're assuming that this is something like that the hand does, that you have to die. It's like a rebirth thing. It's like a phoenix or whatever. You have to die before you can really become like a badass hand. Because even those like the son who killed his dad and all the other people, didn't he kill himself or something? I thought he killed himself, or I thought they did something like you have to die first before you can.
I can't remember what happened.
Maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but that they make it seem like a thing. Nobu died and Shit died, and he runs into Madame Gao again.
Oh,
in this season.
Oh no! After that, there's one final thing that happened when Matt goes back to their law office and Karen's there.
Oh,
and he has a bag. He has a bag with him. And he's like, "I gotta tell you something." And she's like, "Okay, what?" And he pulls out Daredevil's mask,
and she has like a look of realization. And then that's right. I'm glad. I'm sick of her not knowing. I like her.
There you go.
Her and Matt together. Yeah. He's like, "I wasn't gonna tell you, but my other girlfriend just died, so I guess you're back in the running." So I'll let you know. He just covers his bases as far as chicks are concerned. Yeah. So yeah, she clearly like, you know, would approve because she likes Daredevil, thinks he's a hero and shit like that. I like that, and I'm hoping next season that they can finally get together. I really do love Deborah Ann Woll in this show. I think she's she's so pretty and shit too. But regardless, I think she's good. There's a scene,
like way, way early, like in episode two or something, where she was getting shot at or something. I forget who it is who tells her, the DA or the Irish guy they're trying to protect, but he says something like, you don't seem scared. Guy tries to blow your head off and you don't seem rattled at all. And she pauses and you think she's going to say like, well, I've been shot at before. Or, this isn't my first rodeo. Instead, she answers, I'm terrified. Which makes her cooler because she's tough, but she's not hardened. Mm-hmm. She's not, you know, she still gets scared, but you know, her heart is racing, but her hand is steady. You know what I mean? She's that kind of character, which I like. I think she's a good character too, and she's, you know, competent and capable.
Well, there's another part of that where she's one of the interrogation scenes with Punisher, and she's like, "You don't scare me," or "He doesn't scare me," and they're like, "He should. You should be scared." You know, so she wasn't afraid. She's not afraid to get into situations, mm-hmm. pretty much. So there was one other scene. I don't think it went anywhere, but she went back to Frank's house and she was snooping around or whatever. And she kept seeing his van like circle around, and she looked out the window again. And the van went in there and parked, and you see the doors open up and she like ran out the other way. And that was it. That never went anywhere. Like the next scene, it's the next day and she's out and about. So I don't know.
I don't remember that
either. Weird. Yeah. So, one other thing that happened at the very end of this season, the last episode, Frank goes back to his house and he starts getting a can of gasoline, he's going to basically set his house on fire. But there's a picture on the wall, that same picture that she saw with him and his crew from the military. He smashed it and he took it, and there's a little seat. Oh. There's a disc. This is micro, and if you
microchip,
yeah,
is it microchip or micro?
The disc is micro, but if you know Punisher from the comics, you know micro is microchip. You know,
yeah, okay.
So we're gonna get the intro. That's what I was saying. Man, they left it really open. They set up Punisher for everything that he is by the end of the
season.
A lot of seeds in this,
a lot of seeds in this show, in this series. Like not even in season. Something I totally forgot when I went back and rewatched season one, and. In the flashback in season one where Matt's dad is making the bet,
mm-hmm.
and he knows he's probably going to get killed, mm-hmm. when he throws the fight, he also makes another call and he leaves a message and he tells him like, hey, I might have to go. Matt's your responsibility, or look after Matt. Or he says something. He leaves a message for somebody, like maybe Matt's mom or maybe who knows what.
Okay.
And that's, it's like you totally forget it. But I didn't remember until I was watching it again the second time. But when he's making the call, like get the money, put it in a bank account under Matt Murdock, because he knows he's probably going to get killed. He makes another call, and it's clearly a voicemail saying like, I might have to go away, look after Matt, and hangs up. And we don't know who he was calling.
Stick, maybe.
What? So Battling Jack Murdock knew Stick?
Oh, maybe.
Is there more to him? But even if there's a seed that they were sowing, mm-hmm. planting there.
Yeah.
And this show does that a lot, yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, maybe even there's more to Madame Gao. Maybe all those weird things she says are hinting that she's going to be, you know.
So anyway, that's the season right there. I thought that there was a lot going on in this season, but it there's for a reason. You know, they're introducing new characters. They were tying in stuff from the last season. They're setting up stuff for the next, you know, wherever.
It's universe building.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really great. I enjoyed. I thought like the middle of the season, it kind of lulled a little bit, especially the transitional between the Punisher storyline to the Hand storyline. Because it's, we mentioned before, it's starting with vigilantes and it's ending with ninjas and mythical shit. There's all kinds of different stuff going on throughout the whole season. But I thought it was really a really fun season. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a little bit too much going on, and it kind of goes back to what I've said before in the past about universe building, and I mentioned Age of Ultron, how the movie stops, so we can establish Wakanda, or we can establish Ragnarok, mm-hmm. or we can establish, you know, and I'm not saying the show stopped, but I mean, clearly it was kind of scattered because they're trying to create this broad universe, plus they're trying to, well, they didn't really set up, okay. Does Iron Fist have a connection to the Hand?
No.
Not that I know of, right? Yeah. No. They didn't really set up any other Netflix shows, as far as I know. We got one quick nod to Jessica Jones. I think they said her name. I think the assistant DA said something about... He said the words Jessica Jones at one point in the show. Yeah.
Okay.
But other than that, other than Hogarth, and that felt like it would make sense. They're both lawyers.
I didn't really feel like they were establishing the other shows, Luke Cage or Iron Fist, at all.
Claire mentioned that she helped them on Jessica Jones, and that's why she got stuck with night shifts.
Yeah, but no, but clearly the assistant DA said the words Jessica Jones. Okay, I remember it. But whatever. It was good. Good action. I really like John Bernthal. He kind of makes up for what I didn't like about Elodie Young.
It was good.
I was like, it's a little bit too much, especially towards the end. Like I said, scenes are just jumping around, all these different storylines that have nothing to do with each other.
A lot of different story plots are all coming together. It's like, what?
But overall, Netflix is still, they're still hitting it. They're still doing a good job.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's definitely, you know, two thumbs up or whatever you want to say, but great show. Great freaking show.
It's funny. I finished this show, like, maybe that's why I'm so, like, I forgot that happened because I finished this show like a week ago. So we had some time to kill before this episode. Right after this show ended, I went back and watched Daredevil with Ben Affleck.
Oh, God.
just to have, with this fresh in my head. And it was funny. Like, the little things that I don't know. It made the movie worse. It certainly made watching Daredevil worse. I mean, I already knew that was a bad movie, but right after you get done watching this shit, to go watch Ben Affleck's Daredevil, you're like, man, this is a piece of shit.
One thing, I didn't mention it before, we were talking about his billy club and he finally got his weapon. There was one shot, like, he's running on the rooftop and he flings, he separates it and it swings and it latches on and he goes swinging through. That just, like, it felt like it was pulled right from the comics. I thought that was a really cool image of him swinging from the billy club.
That's what I thought watching Ben Affleck do it. He's got the rope on it. He did it first. Just saying. Mm. They did Electra first.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Is the character in season 1?
If you want to do a review of that movie.
We're going to get to that. Don't worry. I've said a while ago.
Is that a commentary episode?
There's a lot of... No, not a commentary episode. There's a lot of Marvel movies that people forget. Before Marvel... Now they're hitting it out of the park, Marvel Studios. But before they became their own studio, we got quite Marvel movies that I think good excuses any to talk about. But in season 1 of Daredevil, Kingpin had like an assistant, a guy named Wesley, glasses. That's another thing. I liked him more than I did Kingpin. I thought he was like more the big bad than Kingpin was. But is that a character from the books? Because in the movie, Kingpin has a little number one guy named Wesley.
I thought he was a character.
I didn't know. I mean, like I said, I've read books that, you know, Kingpin doesn't have his own book. He just pops up in Spider-Man's. He pops up in Daredevil's here and there. But I don't ever remember reading that he had an assistant. And then I see the TV show and the movie are both like, he has a guy named Wesley. So I never knew if Wesley was a comic book character or not. But, yeah, regardless. Although I do like Jon Favreau in that movie. That's Foggy. I think he makes a good Foggy. And people forget Grey's Anatomy chick is in there as Karen. She doesn't have a lot to do, but she's in there as Karen. The chick can play. I watched the director's cut, which people say is a better version than the theatrical. And it's kind of like Alien 3, but I don't want to, like, you know, it makes more sense. It's you know, but it's still not a good movie. I didn't want to make that comparison because I'm going to say that about Alien.
Okay.
So that's
pretty much it.
Still a piece of shit though.
I had the, you know, when we watched something on Netflix, it kind of autoplays to the next episode, you know? And I just left the last episode playing. And after that last episode, it went to the next one, which was actually a preview trailer for Luke Cage. Did you happen to catch that?
No.
Yeah.
I do. The fucking credits are so long because I have to give like the voice credit for every country that this show is dubbed in. And like the credits are like 2 minutes long or more than that. So as soon as the credit starts, I don't like let it go to the next episode because it would take forever. I go back to the menu.
That's what I'm saying. I would normally skip it, but like it's the last episode. So I was just kind of walking around putting stuff up and then I saw it playing and it said Luke Cage.
They're filming that already?
Apparently. I mean, it says it was a trailer for Luke Cage. And
I mean, I don't know if it was a trailer or a teaser with like footage they already have of him or something.
It looked like new footage, but it says it's
like from Jessica Jones.
So September is the next season of the Marvel Netflix series. So, but that's pretty much it though. Did you want to say anything else before we wrap this up?
No, Jessica Jones holds up on second viewing.
Does it? Yeah. I need to go back.
And watch it again. Yeah, I did go back and watch that. Like I said, I refreshed both of them before starting Daredevil season two, and Jessica Jones is still really good. I mean, no, these are good shows, dude. Check them out. Absolutely. Even if you don't like superhero shit.
Barely a superhero show.
These aren't flashy. Yeah, these aren't flashy. They're not too fantastic.
Yeah.
There's no lasers. There's no men flying. It's a very grounded show. It's really good. Mm-hmm. Great action. The action, if you're a fan of just good, if you like The Raid or movies like that, which is good, guys fighting and shit, some really good action in this show. That's what Jessica Jones is lacking, I realized, after watching Daredevil and then Jessica Jones and Daredevil 2. The fighting, the choreography, the action in Jessica Jones is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to Daredevil, where it's clearly very well choreographed with some great stunt work and things like that. But Jessica Jones isn't a fighter. She's strong, but she's not like a fighter.
Yeah.
Or at least Kristen Ritter's version. But yeah, there was some really good fighting. Season one had good fighting and they knew they had to like step it up, and they did. Like I said, those two really great scenes we talked about.
Yeah. And I think we're going to get at least one scene like that in every season of Daredevil, depending on how far they go with it. But anyway, I think that's pretty much going to cover it for this episode. Again, make sure you tell your friends if you like what you hear. Subscribe to us through iTunes and the Stitcher Radio app. Also go to popculturerewind.com so you can check out all our past episodes. And then facebook.com/popculturerewind and also @popculturerwnd to follow us on social media. So that being said, always remember to pop your culture.
Later.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.